Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Every day there are board meetings taking place at which monumental decisions have to be taken. Naturally, Admiralty have their little get-togethers too, and at these meetings it's usually the Admiral who's bored.
Oh, do stop silly shallying, some of you! How much longer is all this argy-bargy going on?
But, Admiral, there are more serious matters...
Oh, put a sock in it, Povey. You can't half natter at these meetings. Who asked you here, anyway?
Well, you did, sir.
Eh? Winnie the Pooh did? What are you talking about?
I didn't say that...
Oh, do stop going on and on and on. Point is, do we act now or wait a bit?
Oh, let's get it over with.
Yeah, now.
Well, all in favor? Well, good show. Well, press the, what's it, somebody?
Sir?
What kept you? We've come to a decision, Probiter.
Yes, sir?
We'll have the gin now.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, that's that settled. Let's chat about the tests for this bloke Watson's invention, shall we?
I say thanks awfully.
Now, what's this invention of yours do?
It's an extension of the use of radar, enabling it to be used over much greater distances. It's an adaptation of the talk-down system used by aircraft in fog, coupled with the Lawrence system used in the United States, where shore stations emit a radio pulse, which is recorded by an instrument in the ship.
Yes, well, sir.
These, of course, are read off in the form of position lines from the special Lawrence chart, which gives the longitude and latitude without any radio transmission whatsoever. Now, in my system, I've adapted the pulsator flanges and coupled the transistor...
Yeah, hang on a minute. I just thought of something.
What do you mean, a snag?
Rather, whatever happened to that gin?
You know, now, sir, if we could get back to Professor Watson's direction finder, would you be agreeable to testing it shortly?
I feel it only fair to say that, as with all new inventions, there is an element of danger. One can never be 100% certain until one has made a test.
What we need for this test is somewhere that's completely isolated and cut off. A draft that is of no tactical importance, so that if anything does go wrong, it won't affect our naval defenses one way or the other.
I agree. But where are we going to find a draft like that?
Oh, I don't think that's going to be too difficult. In fact, I'm sure I know the very draft that fits all these requirements quite perfectly.
You do? Well, they sound a pretty useless lot.
They are. In fact, those jolly jacks are the most idle jacks in the entire service.
Well, I don't care what you say. I mean, Admiralty must think jolly highly of us to select this draft for these tests.
That's a point, sir. But aren't you forgetting something?
What, Chief?
It was Commander Povey who selected us.
Oh, yes, so it was.
Do we gather, Chief, that you feel there may be a slight element of danger involved?
Well, sir, without wishing to commit myself in any way, yes.
Oh, really, you're being ridiculous.
In that case, sir, so are main stores.
Main stores?
Yes, sir, they've sent us a consignment of bulletproof vests and a free hand to indent for turkeys, bonbons and fairy lights.
Gracious, what for?
Well, it's a strong suggestion that if we want to be sure of it, we ought to have our next year's Christmas dinner now.
Oh, they're having us on.
No, sir, I think they're blowing us up.
I don't think you believe that for a minute, Chief.
Huh? Why not, sir?
I haven't yet had your application for compassionate leave.
Oh, well. Well, it's a funny thing you should mention it, sir. Because I've got it right here. It's a great tragical, sir, in my family. A very great tragical in the family, sir. My Aunt Chloe, she fell off a second-hand camel. She was my Warren says she did. She fell off a second-hand camel whilst passing under the pier in Cairo. What's more, she did untold damage to her left...
Ingenious, but no, Chief.
But, sir, her medical advisors are expecting a lopsided lip. So she's asking, she's begging, sir, for John Caesar.
What, your Aunt Chloe or the camel?
You must know, sir, the camel.
Well, which one did untold damage to her left...
Both of them, sir.
Oh, it's nasty. Yeah. I had an uncle who once wrecked his right...
Yeah, very easily done, sir. Very easily.
Yes, especially riding a second-hand camel, I presume.
Yes, very azidonistical, sir. Yes, very azidonistical.
I can imagine. Come in.
Excuse me, sir, but do you know who arranged for this draft to be used for testing the new radar?
Well, Commander Purvey, I believe, Heather. Why?
Nothing, sir, except that I've just had a phone call from a girlfriend of mine who's on the CNC staff at Portsmouth.
Not bad news, I trust?
Well, she hasn't damaged her left...
No. Nothing like that. It's rather odd, really. She just rang up to say she'd seen we'd been selected for the test, so good luck and goodbye.
Oh, isn't that nice of her? But fancy taking the trouble to ring up just to say, sir.
Well, Mr. Phillips?
About my compassionate leave. You remember my uncle wrecked his right...
Wait a minute. There's a flaming liberty. My aunt and her camel did untold damage to their left long before your uncle and his right...
Forget it. Neither of you are going anywhere. We're all going to wallow in the, together.
Well, I'd rather not, sir, if you don't mind.
No. Well, cheer up, Pertwee. We might all get promoted.
If for promotion, you mean sent up a flaming great height, you might well be correct, sir.
There's something else, too, sir.
I was afraid there would be.
They've issued a warning to shipping.
Why? I'm not going to sea.
That's not what I meant.
No, possibly not, Heather. But it was an understandable mistake.
Well, apparently Admiralty have decided that all shipping must keep well clear of this island as experiments of an uncertain nature are about to take place.
They put things so delicate, don't they? For experiments of an uncertain nature. Read one pulse move and it's caps off. Which way do we go?
Do you think there really is going to be some risk involved, sir?
Well, it begins to look rather like it, Heather.
I wasn't going to mention it, sir, but just lately I've had a peculiar sort of knock in my left,
No, Heather. You can't have leave. Hello, number one here.
Jetty guard, yes, sir. There's a craft approaching with a shocking lot of old iron on it, sir.
Well, tell him to go back and get a better lot. Hello? Ghosting, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. But with all due respect, I'm sure, I'd be obliged if you didn't take the mickey out of my English, sir, as it's only temporary. When we get home rule, I hope I shall be able to phone up and make myself abundantly clear in the Gaelic. And in the meantime, there's a craft approaching with a shocking lot of old iron on it, sir.
Oh, thank you.
What's going on, sir?
The Bard of Bangor just read me three chapters of How Green Was My Goldstein. Hello, are you sure this craft is coming here?
Positive, sir. She's only about a mile off now. I think she's come from Portsmouth, sir.
Well, what makes you think that?
Well, I can hear Commander Povey as clear as a bell.
Well, old Thundergas, what's he doing with a load of old iron?
I beg pardon for interrupting, sir, but perhaps it's the new invention, sir.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Pertwee. Old iron was invented years ago.
If I had an old iron, I'd hit you with it.
Hello, sir. Permission to start gunnery practice and blow it out of the water accidentally, sir.
No, Goldstein. If you hit it, you might blow us out of the water accidentally, too. We'll all come down to the jetty at once.
Well, Professor Watson, can we assume that you have assembled all your equipment satisfactorily now?
Oh, rather. Down to the last nut and...
Bolt?
No, the last nut. There's a bolt missing. I don't suppose it'll matter.
not matter, sir.
No, if it blows up, there'll be a lot more than that missing, won't there?
Including us.
Wonderful thing, a sense of humor.
May we ask what time you intend to start operating this machine, sir?
I don't.
Ah, well, that's a relief. Although carting it over here and setting the blooming thing up on the jetty seems a bit pointless if you're not going to...
I meant I'm not going to operate it. You are.
I say, are we really? Oh, I can hardly wait to start trying to... Just a minute. Why aren't you going to operate it?
Because you shall be as far away as possible.
Oh, I see. Do you mind if we all come with you?
What Professor Watson means is that he and I will be on a radar training ship as far away as possible, and you'll be here to direct us back.
Oh, well, I'd much rather play swaps.
Excuse me, beg pardon, sir.
Well, Chief?
The machinery's all set up, sir. Permission to go aboard, sir.
Go aboard what?
Anything, sir. Anything at all. I'm not fussy, just so long as it's not going to hang about.
No, Chief. You'll remain here and assist us to operate this thing.
How do we operate this little lot? We've never seen the perisher before, sir. Oh, simplicity itself. It operates in exactly the same way as a normal radar set with which your navigating officer, Mr. Phillips, will be fully conversant, of course.
Now, what's the matter? You all look as though you've been hit by a bus.
On you eat! On you eat! Stand it up, sir. Where's my pencil? Right, now then. We, the undesigned witness, that this is the last will and testament of Chief Petty Officer...
I shouldn't bother, Chief.
Honestly, I don't know what you're all worrying about. It'll just be a case of trial and error.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, time we moved off, Professor.
Righto. As soon as we're on station, we'll call you up and I'll give you instructions on how to start transmitting the beam.
Oh, did you have to rush off so soon?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to sit down here for a year or two, sir? No, no, Chief Pretty Officer Pertwee.
That's a petty officer.
Oh, a petty. The sooner we get started, the better now.
You'll maintain a strict security guard on the apparatus at all times, of course, number one.
Oh, naturally, sir.
I don't want anything to happen to it.
Then I should take Mr. Phillips with you, sir. I do wish you'd all stop fussing. I'll soon get the hang of it. You know my motto. If at first you don't succeed,
harps will be issued shortly after.
Yes, exactly. That's what... No. I meant if at first you don't try again, then suck it and see.
Oh, come on, Professor, for goodness sake, we'll never get this test started.
You know what it is, Johnson, do you? You know what it is? This is? It's a flaming liberty. That's what it is.
What is?
Getting the perch for your guard duty, of course.
I wouldn't have said it was a liberty. I'd have said it was a blooming miracle.
Yeah, true. The last Pertwee to do a guard was my grandfather at the Battle of Pongo Land.
I suppose the ship he was on was sunk.
It was. That's why we've never done a guard since. Yeah, he was having a kip and the natives blew the ship from under him.
What happened?
It woke him up.
Go on. I reckon Mr. Phillips stands a good chance of waking up all the Pertwees for hundreds of miles with this radar thing this morning.
Look, do you mind, Johnson? Look, do you mind? I prefer not to think about it. If they hadn't put us on guard, I'd have the perfect solution to this problematical.
What was that?
I was going to whip the perisher and chuck it in the sea.
Oh, I see what you mean. Guarding it makes it a bit tricky, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a bit. You know, I don't like this. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Look, it's omnibus. That's what it is. It's omnibus, Johnson. Look, if the thing works, Mr. Phillips will blow it up because he doesn't know what he's doing. Or if Mr. Phillips sorts it out proper, it'll probably blow up because it doesn't work right anyway. Now, you can't win.
Chief?
Yeah?
How am I all for compassionate leave? Because I just remembered my mum Min's caught her left ear...
No, you can't.
Well, it's very painful, you know, catching your left ear...
I don't care. You're not having me.
Well, 3 years ago, she cleared with her right one on the banister. She couldn't go shopping.
Help her! I told you before. We're not interested in your mum Min's left or her right.
My dad Danish.
Your dad Danish? Yeah. Why?
Well, he had to do the shopping when she clouted her right...
And he can do it now she's put a lift to.
No, he can't.
Why not?
His right was run over by a tram yesterday.
Will you cook up about your mum, Min, and your dad Dan?
If you insist.
I do, Johnson.
Oh, very well. You're rotten, you are. Rotten?
Yeah.
If ever a rot was ten, it's yours.
Yeah, I do. Just watch it, that's all. What? Here, look out. Here comes number one. And our pinpointing genius with the pinpointed head.
Morning, Chief. All quiet?
Yeah, so far, sir. But Mr. Phillips hasn't touched anything yet, sir.
I heard that. And I'll have you know, I've been up all night so that I could swat up on radar from my book.
Splendid. And what have you learnt?
Just that I don't know where my book is. I've looked everywhere.
Well, I could have told you, sir. I could have told you. I know it's in the wardrobe.
Well, it can't be. I looked in there, and I couldn't see it.
No, you wouldn't, sir. It's under the leg of the table that wobbles.
Oh, really? What stupid nit put it there?
You did, Mr. Phillips. You said you were sick of having lapfuls of brown Windsor soup.
Oh, yes, so I did. It worked, too.
No, it didn't. Sitting opposite you, now I keep getting lapfuls of brown Windsor.
Well, as long as neither of you drinks the muck, you're all right. I've seen what Cookhouse Clara puts in it.
I've done worse than that. I've seen Cookhouse Clara.
Yeah, and she's seen you, so you quits.
Who is that, Cookhouse Clara?
No, it's the receiver on this thing. It must be old Thunderguts trying to get through.
Well, it couldn't be, sir. It wasn't loud enough. Oh, that's more like it. That's him, all right. Now, let's switch on the rest of it.
Well, go on, Mr. Phillips. Switch on the rest of it.
Oh, just a second, sir. I just want to finish this first. Now then, we, the undersigned, witness that this is the last will and testament of...
I knew it. I knew this would happen. We steam miles and miles out into the Atlantic, and the fools won't answer when we call them.
Oh, I feel an absolute Charlie. I just don't understand what's gone wrong. I was completely positive I checked everything. I just don't understand why it doesn't work.
I can tell you that. I don't suppose those good-for-nothing lead-swinging layabouts are up yet.
Yes, but what about that chap on guard duty?
Oh, that was Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, and he's certain to be asleep.
Oh, what makes you think that?
Well, my grandfather was on board a certain ship at the Battle of Pongoland. It seems the natives...
Ah, they're coming through, they're coming through. Hello, hello, are you receiving me?
Good gracious, so I am. Oh, well done, Leslie.
This is Professor Watson. Are you ready to start the test?
Well, we're as ready as we're ever likely to be.
Good, good. Now listen carefully. First, I want you to press switches marked B and M.
B and N? Yes, I got that. Hang on.
No, 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 not P and N. I said B and M. B for Baker, M for... Hello, hello, hello. B for Baker, M for muck it up.
What's happened? Oh,
it's not what's happened, Commander Povey. It's what's going to happen. He's pressed the wrong switches.
He would. I'd have bet on it. Any time I'd have bet on it.
Hello, hello, I say. What am I supposed to do next? Hello.
Something the matter already, Mr. Phillips?
Yes, the whole thing seems to have gone dead.
Perhaps it wants another shilling in it, sir.
Oh, yes, of course. Why didn't I think of... Oh, no. You don't catch me like that. It went dead his end, so he's the one who's got to put the shilling in it.
Well, all I can say is that I hope he's right. Because my bet is we've only got about 11 pence between us.
You sure you pressed the right switches, Mr. Phillips?
Or rather, sir, P for Phillips and N for naughty.
Yes, well, naughty Phillips seems to be cut off all right. It's got a peep out of it.
Jetty, number one here.
Jetty guard here, sir.
Goldstein, what are you playing at? Where you're only a couple of feet away from you. Why don't you come over?
Oh, not likely, sir. I'm the other side of the wall, and I'm not coming your side for anything.
Oh, very well. What is it?
Aircraft approaching, sir.
We had noticed. What about it?
Well, it's an airliner, sir. Bit off his course, isn't he?
Hello, London. GABCD calling. Flight 64 from New York on approach.
Who said that?
That flaming machine did.
Well, what's it talking about?
Why didn't you ask it?
Oh, yes, yes. Hello. Sub-Lieutenant Phillips here.
Whom?
Phillips.
Oh, hello, Phil. Say, what's going on? I didn't ask for a talk down.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I don't think I feel very well.
Hello, London. Ici Air France, flight 67 from Paris, on approach.
Lummy, another of them.
Mr. Phillips, you're on their radio beam. You're bringing all the aircraft here instead of London Airport.
But they can't land here.
Well, if you don't do something, they're liable to try.
Oh, no law. Hello? Go away. Hello. Hello. Fly somewhere else, do you hear? Hello?
Mr. Phillips, sir. Look, why don't you try... Shoo! Or you might even try... Lateral!
I say, fellow boy, get me down. I've got a date. Do you mind, monsieur? My fuel is running out.
Hello, comrade London. This is the glorious people's aircraft number USS...
Mr. Phillips, switch that thing off. Press something before we're up to our necks in aircraft. Well, Mr. Phillips, have you found a switch you like yet?
I hate the sight of all of them.
Cheer up, Mr. Phillips, sir. There's only a few more to try.
Just as well, Chief. He's diverted every aircraft from here to China, told the North Pole expedition to turn back, and the Irish ferry boat has tried to land here 3 times.
With all due respect, sir, 4 times they're back.
Go away, you've got the wrong message.
Yeah, very likely. Don't call us, we'll try not to call you.
Try another one, quick. We must contact Povey and the professor.
Oh, you're back, are you, Phil? Listen, I know what you're up to. You're keeping me mucking about up here so you can take my date out.
No, honestly, no, it's all a mistake. I can explain.
Please, monsieur, long live l'amour. But my fuel, she is almost gone.
Well, switch it off for a bit until I think of something.
Hello, comrade London. What are you trying to do? Sabotage the glorious people's plane by keeping me...
That's my lot. I'm not touching another thing.
Why, what? Here's Heather.
What on earth are you two up to?
Up to my eyeballs. Why, Heather?
Well, Mr. Ebenezer Pertwee's just been on the telephone.
Oh, nunky. What did he want?
Oh, nothing much. He just asked if you could put in a commercial for his tug.
A commercial for his tug?
Yes, sir. From time to time, you've been on the television.
You mean we've been actually on the telly?
Yes.
Good gracious. Heather?
Yes, sir?
Which channel?
Oh, BBC, sir.
I say, that was a bit of luck, wasn't it?
Mr. Phillips, sir, the morons of Morn are sweeping up from the sea again.
Oh, Lummy, so they are. Go away. Not today, thank you. Good afternoon. Likewise, I'm sure.
For goodness sake, establish contact with old Thunderguts, Mr. Phillips.
All right, he's only got 2 switches left now, sir.
That's right, B and M. And I'm not touching them.
Well, allow me, sir. It can only blow us up.
You're such a comfort, Pertwee.
Hello! Hello! Commander Povey calling base!
Oh, Lummy, you've done it. Oh, it's old Thunderguts.
Yes, it's old Thunderguts, all right. What on earth have you been playing at, you stupid, bungling, dunderheaded, half-baked, know-nothing nincompoops.
Well, a technical hitch, sir. We couldn't find the right switches.
I'll say you couldn't. Do you know what you've done?
Well, we've got a pretty fair idea.
Here, let me talk to him.
Over to you, sir, and welcome.
Hello, hello!
Number one here, sir. Could you speak up? You're very faint.
Blimey, he must be at the North Pole.
Thank you, lunatics. I am at the North Pole.
Good gracious. He must have got that message for the expedition.
But whatever you do, Mr. Phillips, sir, don't ask him what the weather's like.
Thanks to your meddling with the professor's invention, you steered us out here at full speed and I'm freezing. Do you hear me? Freezing.
Hang on, sir. I'll get you out of there. I'll press another switch.
No, no, no. Please, please, no. Just a minute. There's a chap here in a rubber dinghy. Ahoy there. Who are you?
Pardon, monsieur. Could you tell me the way to Paris? My plane, she ran out of fuel.
Lummy, how did he manage to paddle all that way?
Look, switch it off, sir. Switch it off. Blow a fuse. Do something. Because I've got a nasty feeling I know who's going to turn up there next. Yeah, pull the main plug out, sir.
What? Oh, yes, right. Now, why did we think of that before?
Yes, it does seem a pity.
What do we do now?
Well, with all due respect, sir, may I suggest a short, sharp phone call to Admiralty, sir, and reporting the operation is a complete failure, through no fault of our own, but through Commander Povey's not being on correct station.
Yes, excellent, Chief. That makes it Commander Povey's fault.
Oh, yes, so it does, sir.
Yes, what about old Thundergas? I mean, we can't just leave him up the pole.
Well, so I suppose we could drop a gentle hint as to his whereabouts. Eventually.
Good idea. I say, I do hope he doesn't get frostbite in his right...
Oh, no, no, sir. Oh, no, sir, the left will go first. They always do, sir. They always do.
That was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Commander Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, the Admiral was Tenniel Evans, Professor Watson was Michael Bates, Able Seaman Johnson was played by Ronnie Barker, and Heather was Heather Chasen. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.